The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Big Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Monday, November 22nd, as we record this and as we go live on YouTube, which you can join us as part of a chat, youtube.com/pick6, or get the app. I hear myself talking. Very annoying. Or get the app, search Pick Six Podcast, subscribe, hit the like button if you're watching the video, and if you're listening to the audio, it's probably Tuesday, November 23rd. 2 days till Thanksgiving. We'll be live on Thanksgiving. I'll be literally live from my parents' basement. I'm very excited about that.
So you will be blogging from your mom's basement, if you will?
I'll be vlogging, I guess.
Classic blogging move.
Well, my dad's basement, mom's basement.
Back to where it all started, Brinson.
Yep, that's right.
I heard we're giving away an invite to your house for Thanksgiving to whoever gets the most likes, whoever gets the 150th like. Is that true?
That's not true.
Oh.
What we're going to do instead, if we get a ton of, we're probably not giving away a hat tonight, so don't worry about it, but we will probably give away a hat on two hats on Thanksgiving. That's the plan. So we're thankful for how badly I suck or something. Mm. The Bucks absolutely blew out the Giants. The final score, 30-10, doesn't really do it justice. The Giants had chances to score more points, but mostly looked hapless. I would guess that Tom Brady at the end of the day is actually kind of miffed about his performance in this game. By the way, joining me, John Breach, Ryan Wilson. What's up, boys?
Yellow. Go ahead.
Hello.
Brady was 30 of 46 for 307, two touchdowns and a pick. Blaine Gabbert got a couple snaps in there. Mike Evans a little hobbled at the end, but ended up being fine. Had 11 targets, 6 catches, 73 yards, and a score. Chris Godwin, 6 of 6, 65, and a score. I don't know how the bleep he didn't go over his receiving yards number. That's really frustrating. Actually, man, I guess our props on the me and side, my picks did not do well because Mike Evans, 21 was his longest, and Chris Godwin did not get over 71.5 somehow. There was not a, I mean, for the Bucs to score 30 points, the numbers, Brady just spread the ball around like crazy. And then, I mean, the Giants scored 10 points. Danny Dimes, 23 of 38, 167, a touchdown and two picks. Saquon Barkley had 6 carries. You know, the Giants are terrible and the Bucs are good. Is there something that you would like to add to this, Ryan?
No, this is more about the Giants and the Buccaneers. Just like last night when we talked about the Steelers and the Chargers, I felt like we learned more about the Chargers defense than we did about anything else in terms of not being great. On Monday night, this is about the Buccaneers need to win. We said yesterday they hadn't won in a month, and they did. But the Giants just pulled a Plexico Burris, went to the club in sweatpants, and continued to shoot themselves in the leg time and time and time again, mostly in the form of turnovers and head-scratching plays and poor decisions by Daniel Jones. Saquon Barkley isn't nearly as healthy as he was before the injury, and I don't know when he's going to get back to that guy. And that's obviously a concern. Galladay played. He flashed once, I think it was in the first quarter. And Kadarius Toney right now is their best player. Unfortunately, Kadarius Toney, who has an arm, he can probably throw the ball farther than Daniel Jones, can't throw it and catch it to himself and tackle everyone and do everything else they need him to do. So a bad football team. Coaching's a huge question mark. You know, we've been talking about Matt Nagy and his status in Chicago. I think there are going to be a lot of questions asked about Joe Judge and that crew in New York. But it starts with the quarterback and just pick a name. The offensive line sucked. Will Hernandez had an incredibly difficult evening.
Oh, man. He played pretty well early in his career, and it took a step back. Andrew Thomas, touchdown catch, though.
Yeah, you can't expect Andrew Thomas to play receiver and offensive line the same game. That's a little much.
Maybe Andrew Thomas should play wide receiver. Kadarius Toney could play quarterback, and maybe they'll be onto something.
I think so.
This game was embarrassing. The game, I forgot. Almost Thanksgiving.
Ooh.
Thanksgiving morning. So midnight at Thanksgiving, Eastern time. to 11:59 p.m. on Cyber Monday. So essentially midnight, basically starting on Wednesday at midnight and running through Monday at midnight, we're doing CBS Sports has a Cyber Monday sale, including all Pick Six merchandise, 25% off everything. Like this stuff. Look at this. This actually came to my house today. You would think I would have more of these, but you know, sometimes work is weird. Breach got his today. Wilson's had his. Will you gentlemen agree that this is an extremely comfortable hoodie? And I got a large. When I pulled it out of the box, I was like, oh boy, this is going to be a little snug. Nope, perfect fit. Breach probably got an XL because he's fat. That's fine.
My wife got it out of the mail and said, oh wow, that's comfortable. And usually, you know, if your wife says that about a hoodie, you don't ever see it again because they just start wearing it. But I was like, no, I need that for the show tonight. And as you'll notice, I thought about getting navy blue, but I thought we were going to look like the three Dumbo. That's what is that?
This is navy blue? This is gray.
And that's navy blue.
Okay. I thought we'd look like the three Dumbo Musketeers if we all match. So that's why I ended up getting white.
I will say that the hood itself, I guess it's got a little stretchability there. It's a little snug, but in general, fantastic. Well, everywhere in all day. It's cold as hell here. It feels great.
So, Brinson, what I'm going to do, get a little fancy here. I'm going to throw the QR code in the top right to the right of Ryan Wilson right now. Hold your phone over it. Do the QR code thing. That's going to send you to the Pick Six store. You don't have to buy anything tonight. We actually don't encourage you to buy something tonight, but save that link for Thursday through Monday. Off. Save that link so you can get that 25% off and get a selection of Pick Six goodies.
I just did it.
Somebody wants to know my height and weight. I'm not going to provide that information, but
5'4", 220.
Yes, that's
220. F you, bro.
Take the under and the over in that order.
If you've ever seen Rob Gronkowski, divide by two with the height and subtract 20 pounds with the weight.
I would say I'm your like extremely average 40-year-old adult male.
I have a medium, and I'm 2 inches taller than Brinson.
You're much skinnier than I am. Well, I have a large, and there's tons of room here. I'm like 5'8", 5'9", maybe 5'10". Who's to say?
You're not 5'10".
No kidding. I was cussed. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm like 5'8".
When Bree starts giggling, that means you've gone too far.
5'10"? I'm like 5'. I'm obviously not 5'10". I was joking.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
But, Bree, you're shorter than me.
Yeah, but I don't. Well, I'm not sitting here trying to say I'm 5'10". I'm 5'6".
Okay,
I'm probably there's no fucking my numbers. I've come to grips with my height. I'm fine with it at this point in my life.
Dino, are you 6 feet?
Well, I'm 5'6" or 5'8" or 5'10". It just depends on like who I'm standing next to.
Right, exactly. Dino, are you 6 feet?
That's what I put in the dating apps. Yeah, I'm 6 feet.
Nice. So, what size would you get, Dino? You wouldn't get a small, would you?
No, I would go with a large, just because...
You would go... that's... Debo's like my 14-year-old, who's...
I'm like a tweener sometimes between medium and large, because I'm thin, but you get a medium, and it's kind of too short sometimes for the arms and the torso.
I found that a lot of times with... This is how bad this game was on Monday night. It's like, we're talking about shirt sizes. I found that a lot of times with... Recently, a shirt that would be... We do need a discount code. Brinson sucks. A shirt that would be a typical large. There's just so much variance in what a large is. It's crazy.
Yeah, Debo also calling me out for having short arms, which is funny because my mother-in-law assumed that I had short arms back in the day when she would buy like Christmas presents. Medium fit me perfectly, Debo. So sorry that I can't have your length. Both.
Trust me, I think I have a negative wingspan, so I'm not bragging here.
All right, so there you go. What size do you got, Breach? Medium?
Medium.
Me and Breach have mediums. Brinson and Debo are large.
You also, with a hoodie, you go larger. Like, I would go... Yeah,
that's weird that you would go medium with a hoodie.
I don't like
Breach is a tiny little human being.
I don't like a lot of extra material. I don't layer under the hoodie. The hoodie is part of the layer. T-shirt, hoodie, and then you put a jacket on over that.
Somebody points out in the chat, the sizes for the hoodie should actually be Breach, Wilson, Brinson. Like, you don't order medium, like small, medium, large. You order like Breach, Wilson.
There you go.
So yeah, 25%. Or you can
like
ask for a
special D-Bear request where it's like extra, or like Goldilocks, extra short arms or something.
Goldilocks and the three bears, except Goldilocks and the three bloggers.
Yeah, I mean, and none of us are, exceptionally big. I'm certainly the stoutest. But I don't think like none of us are big vertically or horizontally, right?
Yeah. No, Debo's 6 feet. He's the tallest.
He's not 6 feet, but that's fine.
Brinson's mad about that 5'4" joke.
I'm short. I think I'm a pretty average sized.
Hey, listen, you're 5'4", but you're 5'10" with a hair plug, so it works out.
Anywho.
No discount code needed. Just go to the store, 25% off Thursday through Monday.
So what I was going to say before we get completely sidetracked is that this was a totally embarrassing loss for the Giants, because you have a team, they're coming out of a bye. You would think you have 2 weeks to prepare, and this is what you threw. This is like having a year to prepare a turkey dinner and you show up with a dead hamster. Like, people are just going to look at you like, what are you doing, man? We're eating turkey. Where did you even get this idea that we wanted hamster? And so that's where we are here with the Giants. This touchdown they scored, it was a fluke because it was off a Tom Brady interception that bounced off Mike Evans' hands that somehow ended up in Adoree Jackson's hands. It shouldn't have happened, and it set up a 4-yard touchdown drive for the Giants. The final score should have been like 38-3. I mean, the score, I think one of you guys already said, was not indicative of how this game went. The Giants are an absolute disaster. Their fourth down play that they ran on their first fourth down attempt was just, I don't know what they were doing. It was just mind blowing that a team can be so discombobulated and disorganized and just look this bad coming out of a bye.
Well, this is sort of the Giants team we've become accustomed to. And the thing is,
the Bucs didn't have Vita Vea. I mean, they were at home. I mean, I don't know, man.
And the Giants had won 2 of 3 before the bye. They almost beat the Chiefs. They lost 20-17. So they had played 3 straight weeks of very competitive football because they won 2 of them and almost all 3. And then they go out, and I'm sure they felt good going into the bye and saying, all right, now we got a shot in Tampa. We almost beat them on Monday night last year. Maybe we can pull an upset here. This is the opposite of an upset. It was not even close to ever any upsetting ever happening.
What's the opposite of an upset?
Happiness. Well, the Buccaneers went home happy is the opposite of an upset.
Yeah, no, I think the takeaway is that Joe Judge has some questions to answer, and I don't know if maybe he's the guy, maybe he's not the guy. It doesn't appear that he has a handle on what makes his team good, because as you point out, they've been the opposite of that. And
let me ask you this: are you concerned at all about the Buccaneers, because they lost their game against the Saints and Trevor Siemian before the bye?
I mean, beat the crap out of the Giants. What else are they supposed to do?
Well, no. I mean, they lose to the Saints and Trevor Siemian when Jameis Winston gets hurt, right? He got hurt in that game on Halloween. They have their bye. They come out of the bye. They lose on the road to Washington and Taylor Heineke. I mean, those are two backup quarterbacks. Then they host the Giants, and they cover. Don't get me wrong. They covered easily. They covered the second half spread. The Bucs. Some people who model this stuff point out that when the Bucs have a lead in the second half, the live betting the under is a good move, because the Bucs eat up clock. They're more aggressive. I mean, just like any team with a lead, and it worked out. I mean, like, the live under was 54.5 at one point, and it was a joke. But Tom Brady was 30 of 46, which was I don't know. I didn't think the Bucs looked their sharpest, and they just haven't looked good for the last 3 games. So any concerns at all about Tampa Bay?
Well, a couple things. Number one, as Breach just noted, the only way the Giants could score is if they had that fluke interception that wasn't Tom Brady's fault, although it'll be hysterical if Bruce Arians blames Tom Brady again for it, from the 4 yards out. Mm-hmm. They won by 20. Blaine Gabbert came in the last half of the fourth quarter, which rarely happens with Tom Brady. He always seems to be out there. And I would
actually, it's happened a lot this year, because Sully and I were looking at it.
Fair enough. Let me continue. That's not the important part of this conversation, whether Blaine Gabbert plays a lot. I would ask this, though. Are you more concerned about the Chargers or the Buccaneers? Because I'm less concerned about the Buccaneers based on the way they played in this game. And Patrick Graham's done a good job as defensive coordinator for the Giants, and he was down some guys, too. So give them credit. But I think I'm more concerned about the Chargers defense than I am about the Buccaneers overall being competitive in the NFC.
I don't really understand. I mean, I understand the question.
Well, they're both playoff teams. They both have high-powered offenses.
Champions.
Well, we just talked yesterday about the Chargers, so I would be more concerned. I have zero concerns about the Buccaneers the way they played this game. They blew the doors off the Giants. I have concerns about the Chargers, who lost to a beat-up Steelers team at home and gave up 37 points.
But I also, yeah, I don't think I'm concerned about the Buccaneers. It's weird with the Buccaneers because, and I think we've mentioned this, and you look at their losses to the Rams. It was a team they lost to last year. For whatever reason, struggle against the Rams. 0-3 against the Saints. For whatever reason, Sean Payton has Tom Brady's number in Tampa Bay. They struggled against Washington in the playoffs. Washington probably gave them their toughest game in the postseason last year. And so for whatever reason, that's the only week Taylor Heineke shows up is the Buccaneers game where he just looks like a freaking MVP out there. And so because it's, because it's those three.
We've lost to the same teams back-to-back years except for the Bears.
It's insane. And so the fact that it's those three specific opponents makes me think that unless they run into one of those three opponents in the playoffs, which probably isn't going to happen unless the Rams, because I don't think New Orleans or Washington will be there, then they don't. Maybe it's just a bad matchup with all three of those teams.
And remember, they beat both of those teams, the Saints.
Right.
And Washington in the playoffs last year. Look, they're going to be the worst case scenario for the Buccaneers at this point in time. The absolute worst case, and frankly, it feels unlikely, is they're the fourth seed in the NFC. They're at the Colts next week. Then they're at the Falcons.
Why don't you read the last three games?
Yeah, no, I'm going to. You would think that worst case scenario, they finish 1-1 of those games, right? At Colts, at Falcons.
Yes.
Two are certainly on the table, but worst case, 1-1. Bills at home, Saints at home. I think, again, worst case, you come out of those four games and you're 2-2. So, absolute worst case, you're not, 9-7? Going into a three-game stretch where you have the Panthers on the road, the Jets on the road, and the Panthers at home.
9-5.
Yeah, 9-5.
9-5. I don't know why I said 9-7. That sounded weird, too. So, 12-5 sounds like the worst case to me for the Buccaneers.
Mm-hmm. And even if they slip up in one of those final three, that's 11-6 is the absolute worst case.
If our division bet should be in the barn, but feeling very good about the division bets after the Saints lose and the Bucs win, it should be over. The question is, can Tampa? So they're ahead of Dallas because they beat Dallas in week one, of course. They are Green Bay hadn't had their bye, and neither has Arizona. So they're behind those two. And if you're Tampa, you have to look at the schedule and think there's a very, very good chance of going to get that one seed.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So, all right. I was just curious about the concern about the Bucs. And by the way, they had no Vita Vea tonight, and they still snuffed out the Giants run game.
Well, I mean, the Giants, they were zero-dimensional today. They weren't even one-dimensional. So I don't even know if they needed anybody out there the way they were playing. That interception that Daniel Jones threw to Stephen McClendon, I have no explanation
for what's going on there. Let's take a break, and we come back. We'll discuss where Daniel Jones ranks amongst NFC East quarterbacks.
I'm Trey Wingo. And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
So we're fine with the Buccaneers, and we obviously everyone has concern about the Giants. Giants fans, you know, we're watching some people are watching the Manning cast. It's been now 10 years since Eli won that second Super Bowl for the Giants. And it's one thing to say, oh, you got more Super Bowls in the last, you know, 25 years than most teams have ever have their, you know, ever. But, you know, if no one wants to watch a bad team with bad decision making and bad front office operations and bad ownership and bad coaching and bad offensive coordinating, you know, over a lengthy period of time. And that's what Giants fans are getting. So understandably, they are miffed. In the chat, people are asking, how do we rank the NFC East quarterbacks? Reach, how would you rank your four NFC East quarterbacks?
Let's see. I know Debo was talking me into Jalen Hurts being the best rushing quarterback of all time yesterday. So I'm not going to discount that.
I can answer first.
I'm going with Dak Prescott, number one.
Bold, I like it.
I am going with, man, I'm probably going Jalen number two. I think that's
easily
what I'm doing here. And you know what? I'm just going to go in the order of standings. That's what makes sense in my head right now. Taylor Heinicke just played the same Buccaneers team and won 29-19. So how can I put Daniel Jones above him? Putting DJ last, man. I'm putting DJ last.
Would you put Gardner Minshew above Daniel Jones?
Maybe.
What about Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Yes.
So Daniel Jones is like sixth in the NFC East. Is that right? Does that check out on the Wins Over Wilson model?
I mean, Mike Glennon?
I might take Glennon over Daniel Jones too.
Has Gardner taken a snap? Has he come in at all?
No, we're just.
Yeah, not for the Eagles.
Yeah, just being good.
He's taken a couple snaps.
Oh, okay. All right, I didn't know if Breach was just
nothing meaningful. Nothing meaningful.
Yeah, right. No meaningful snaps.
Yeah, the bad thing, I mean, Taylor Heineke's clearly outplayed Daniel Jones the last few weeks. And Jones had actually played better to start this year. But again, the offensive line isn't great in New York, and Jones still makes those head-scratching decisions, as we just talked about. So, yeah, I go with Breach's order. And I don't even think there's much argument that it could be something else.
I mean, I do think in quasi-defense of Daniel Jones that the way that the Giants set this whole thing up was ill-conceived and poorly constructed. They tried to – basically, Dave Gettleman's been panic – he's been panic drafting and panic trading and making moves based on panic over the last 3 to 4 years. I mean, that's just how he operates, mm-hmm. because he got fired and then immediately rehired and was charged with fixing the Giants. And so instead of – like doing what the Bills did, which is build out this infrastructure designed to help out your quarterback that you're eventually going to draft and drop in there, he just threw Daniel Jones in with a terrible offensive line. So he's like panicking. He was trying to pay Nate Solder to be the franchise left tackle. Drafts Will Hernandez after it was Saquon Barkley when he could have had Quentin Nelson and Nick Chubb instead. I mean, you tell me, right? Andrew Thomas has been really good. I think Daniel Jones could be fine or above average in a second landing spot. It just doesn't feel like it's going to work in New York. And so, like, I don't put it all on Daniel Jones, but he's definitely my fourth, and I agree with Breach's list.
Ooh, I like all these lists we're seeing, too, from our YouTube comment section, especially the ones that agree with me. I like those the most.
Yeah, a lot of those.
And I think everyone has the same list. You just
got not everyone. Not everyone, Brinson.
I mean, the Giants just have a bad situation, man. I mean, it's not conducive to winning. And Joe Judge and Jason Garrett, what a pairing.
If Dak Prescott was on the Giants and Daniel Jones was on the Cowboys, who's in first place in the NFC East right now?
The Eagles.
Yeah, that's I don't even have a dunk button for that. It's just probably correct.
Dunking on the...
I mean, Daniel Jones on the Cowboys is... like I don't think Dak would be bad on the Giants, but I think Daniel Jones would be good on the Cowboys.
I don't think Daniel Jones would be better than Mac Jones in New England. I just think he makes so many head scratching decisions.
Okay. No. Yeah. Mac Jones is better than Daniel Jones.
Well, I mean, the whole conversation.
But if you put him behind a competent offensive line.
Well, I mean, yeah, competent offensive coordinator, point is that if you put him in the quote unquote perfect situation, I don't think he has the same success as someone who's just supposed to be a game manager would have. And that's why I mentioned the Patriots.
No, I mean, I think the Patriots would be like around 500 with Daniel Jones.
Well, that's fine. That's not as good as what. That's my point.
I agree with you. I'm just saying.
I mean, is that bad that Daniel Jones isn't even the best quarterback in the NFL with the last name Jones?
Who is number two?
Jones, you know, if you're, you know.
Is there number two? Another Jones is probably better than Daniel.
Mac?
Yeah, after that.
I mean, I just think that it's easy to pick on Daniel Jones. Came out of Duke, overdrafted, has a weird looking face on that mugshot that they always throw out.
Is he ahead of Landry Jones?
Landry. I was trying to think of Landry's first name.
I was like, Wilson is thinking of a Steelers quarterback. I don't know who it is.
I don't think anyone's picking on Daniel Jones. He's the quarterback that plays for the Giants. And
he turns the ball over. You know, like, he is what he is. He turns the ball over a ton. And I
they
do
know how he
you.
Turns the ball over. They don't do anything to help him out.
Brenton, I agree with you that on another team, he could end up being a decent quarterback, but it's not going to work out in New York. There's just too much there. There's just the fans are over it. Well, he's probably over it.
Here's what I'd be worried about if I'm a Giants fan, is that you have an ownership group, the Maras and the Tishes, who have consistently recommitted to Dave Gettleman. If they don't fire Dave Gettleman, then they won't fire Joe Judge. And I'm not saying you should fire everybody. I'm just saying that if they don't, there's a decent chance they don't fire Dave Gettleman this offseason and they let him pay Saquon Barkley and they let him, you know, give Daniel Jones one more year. There's a very good chance of that. That would not be surprising at all, right?
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't have a sense for that. I don't know why you would keep banging your head against the wall, but maybe that's.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they fired Dave Gettleman at the end of the year. Like, hey, Dave, like, great service to the Giants. You've done so much for us. You won multiple titles with us, even though you know, didn't work the actual GM, et cetera. But I feel like there's a decent chance they say, we're going to run this back one more year, see what Daniel Jones has, see, insanity. Like, and pace. I mean, like, what do you, that's why you don't draft a running back that high. Same thing with Christian McCaffrey. He's amazing, but the Panthers still stink. And Dave Gettleman drafted both of them in back-to-back years.
So let's go through this because I'm looking at the draft order. We know there's not any quarterbacks in this draft class. And let's look at teams that have a chance to be decent next year. So I'm not talking about the Lions. Daniel Jones and the Lions would be just like Jared Goff, maybe worse. But let's go through some names, and then you tell me where he improves the current situation. The Falcons.
No. In Atlanta.
Taylor Heinicke in Washington.
I think he would be at a little – well, I guess we just ranked Taylor Heinicke above.
Okay, but over the course of the season, is he better?
I think they're
– I mean, you're hesitating, so that tells me you're not.
Well, I mean, well, also like with Taylor the Falcons, Matt Ryan's 36.
Daniel Jones clearly has more upside, but Taylor Heinicke just doesn't turn the ball over like Daniel Jones does.
Well, we're in year three now, so, I mean, enough with – you can't – there's only so long you can say, well, he's going to turn the corner. We're trying to give him a better landing spot.
But I think that a better offensive coaching staff would allow him to be dealing with less. Like, there's a lot of times where he's fumbled. He makes dumb decisions and throws bad picks. There's also a lot of times where Daniel Jones is just, he's standing back there and maybe he's waiting a beat too long, but he just gets obliterated and the ball goes flying.
All right. So you have 3 seconds to answer. So you say yes to the Falcons. Breach, you disagree with that?
With the Falcons?
Yeah.
No, I would take Matt Ryan and the Falcons.
Matt Ryan, I mean, I take Matt Ryan too.
I mean, but no, he's better, but he's 36. Like, how much longer is he going to be playing? He's getting beat up every
week. How much longer is Daniel Jones going to be playing?
Dude, Daniel Jones will get murdered. And,
like, yeah.
It would be worse Breach. Than it is in New York.
Heinicke or Daniel Jones in Washington next year?
I'll take Heinicke at the price, I think.
I'm taking him at any, on a billion-dollar deal.
Breach. I was going to suggest Carolina, but good God.
I mean, Daniel it's Jones close. Probably Heinicke.
Walking in Carolina.
All right, so Carolina's next on the list. I mean, I take Daniel Jones.
No. Cam over Daniel Jones all day long.
Breach.
Do you know what happened to Daniel Jones behind that offensive line?
I mean, it's a half a dozen. Yeah,
he's toast. He's toast.
All right, there. Denver.
I think that one's kind of interesting.
How interesting? I mean, that in terms of wins. Like, is he that much better than Teddy Bridgewater?
I don't think Denver's like 10-0 or whatever.
Like, wins over Wilson, he is... I don't know if he has a higher winning percentage than Teddy Bridgewater. Breach?
I think that they win one or two more games with Daniel Jones.
I got an interesting one for you.
All right.
Maybe you're getting there.
So Vegas, I'm staying with Derek Carr.
I want you to drop two more down.
Yeah, no, we'll get there. So before we get there, Vegas, anyone taking Daniel Jones over Derek Carr?
No, I'd probably take Derek Carr.
All right.
Indianapolis is interesting.
Prince, I just want you to get to the Browns.
No, Colts and the Browns are interesting.
The Colts, I'm sticking with Carson Wentz. I don't think it's close.
It's close.
All right, so this is my whole point on Daniel Jones. Carson Wentz had to do nothing against the Bills on Sunday. Like, that has never happened in Daniel Jones' career.
No, that's not true. When Saquon was healthy, he had to do very little, and he still turned the ball over 18 times in 18 starts or whatever.
How's Saquon? Saquon hadn't been healthy?
Yeah, he was. He was healthy his first.
Great rookie season. That's been it.
Okay. That's 16 games that Daniel Jones had to do less than Quentin
Nelson. But like, that's the exact point. It's like, that could have been Quentin Nelson.
Okay. Well, Jacoby Brissett couldn't make it work when he was a starter.
He tore his MCL, but sure, whatever.
I mean, you keep making excuses.
I'm just saying that a team like the Colts builds an infrastructure that is designed to help the quarterback and minimize what they have to do. And a team like the Giants. Here's the thing, though.
Fair enough. I don't disagree with any of that. But if you look at how Carson Wentz at his best versus Daniel Jones at his best in terms of the advanced metrics, Daniel Jones is still one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL, no matter what time frame you use.
I just think Indy and Cleveland are really interesting because they have good offensive lines, good running games. They would allow him to like take a breath and not be just expecting some hulking maniac breathing down on him about to knock his solid block off.
You say that. How's Baker doing behind that great?
Baker's banged up.
That's the point.
But I would probably, I don't know if I take Daniel Jones over Baker, but
I would be
very intrigued to see Daniel Jones in Indy or Cleveland, is what I'm saying. Or Breach. New Orleans.
Breach. New Orleans.
So, Breach, in Indianapolis, who are you taking?
I mean, I'm probably taking Carson Wentz because he has a higher upside. We've seen him actually have success in his career, unlike Daniel Jones, but I do think it is close. And I do think it would be interesting if Carson Wentz wasn't in the situation, maybe he got injured or something. I think it would be interesting to see Daniel Jones play in an offense like that with competent coaches and solid talent around him. Solid offensive line.
Cleveland, that's a similar situation. Who are you taking, Baker or Daniel?
I think that's tough.
I don't know why you guys are hesitating on this. You guys have seen Daniel Jones play.
Are you definitely
acting like Baker? At least
I've seen him play for the Giants. What do you think Baker Mayfield would do with the Giants?
Yeah, I guess that's my point. It's like I'm not taking Daniel Jones over Baker Mayfield, but I want to see what Daniel Jones would look like in a place like Indianapolis, New Orleans.
What about Pittsburgh?
Or Cleveland.
What about Pittsburgh?
Yeah, that'd be a problem.
Hard pass.
It'd be a hard problem in Pittsburgh with that offensive line.
And all the turnovers, forget about it. Texans, as someone suggested in the chat.
Ooh, a lot of people on that Pittsburgh bandwagon.
The Steelers did sign him. And then Wilson has to become, he's like, there's a path.
I have to support Dwayne Haskins now. So, but the Saints, I think, makes sense. Get the ball out quickly. Get Alvin Kamara back. Get Mike Thomas back. Draft another wide receiver. Or give up the first-round pick to get Mike.
Boom. And they're in the Super Bowl in 3 years.
And then the only other team after that, of course, is the Bengals. I think the Bengals could be much better with him then.
Man.
What about the what about the Titans?
No.
Ryan Tannehill.
Do they have to pick up his option?
Stop it. We're talking about Ryan Tannehill for MVP a week ago. Get out of here.
No, I wasn't. That was
what about the Buccaneers?
I don't know.
You mean like post Tom Brady?
Yeah. Wait, you're comparing Ryan Tannehill to Tom Brady?
No, just stop. Tannehill is not. That's what you just for said. Discussion. What that's are you? Weird. What are Debo just chatted us? What are we doing? Exactly.
So here's an interesting question though. The Giants do have to decide this April, right? If they are going to pick up Danny Dimes' fifth year option.
May, I think, but yes.
So are you picking it up?
Well, it's not just guaranteed for injury anymore.
It is.
I think a lot depends on.
I don't want depends, Brinson. I want yes or no.
It depends on who's picking it up, Breach.
You mean like a new general manager, new coach?
Is Dave Gettleman fired? Then probably not. If Dave Gettleman's still there, then I think if you keep Dave Gettleman, you are inherently chasing. You are throwing good money after bad, which means they will pick it up. Generally speaking, I'm in favor of picking up the fifth year options, although I don't know how I feel about that with the change in the CBA now that it's because like before in the old CBA, you could pick up the fifth year option and it was guaranteed for injury only. So you could just bail out of it and not worry about it. Now it's fully guaranteed. So like the Panthers, for instance, are on the hook for $18.8 million of Sam Darnold. It's probably something in the range of $15 million for Daniel Jones. Sixth pick overall a year later, right? I mean, that's probably close. I don't know that you can fully guarantee him $15 million in 2023 if this is what we're getting in 2021.
Yeah, and I think it would be closer to $20 million.
There you go.
The number four, Baker and Sam Darnold in that class.
Well, you got to go to find the sixth overall pick. So what was Quentin Nelson's? Well, I guess the quarterback's higher, but.
$18.8 million for Darnold and Mayfield. So it's going to be higher than
Darnold was second overall or third overall.
Right, but it's even. Mayfield and Darnold have the same number. It's based on, it's not based on your where you're picked anymore. It's based on if you earn a Pro Bowl berth.
Oh, that's right. They changed it's,
the formula. You actually have to do stuff. And so if you've done nothing, then it is, it's based on playing Baker time.
Did Baker have a Pro Bowl? Or?
It's based on playing time. You get a bonus. And then if you make it to one Pro Bowl, you get another tier. And if you make it to more than one Pro Bowl, you reach the third tier.
So Daniel Jones is going to hit one of those, which is playing time.
Yes.
And if you pick it up and he makes the Pro Bowl, then you're fine with it.
So I'm looking over the cap, and they say his estimated fifth-year option will be $21.4
million. Mm. You can't pick that up.
I mean,
fully guaranteed.
This is for 1 year, though.
I mean, look at where the Panthers are right now with Sam Darnold. You can't pick that up. Yeah. You're going to pick that up after this season, not for the next year, but for the year after next.
Yeah. Fair enough. I can't argue that.
Unless the Steelers are giving you a first round pick for it, you can't do it.
God, please don't do that.
You see how depressed we are talking about the Giants? Is this how Giants fans feel every day?
Let's get out of here. All right. Giants are bad. They have a lot of decisions to make. Oh, man. I mean, the Saquon Barkley thing, like, are you going to sign him?
No.
You just ditch Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones?
They win three games a year. But the lesson there is it doesn't matter.
That's a lot of really expensive draft capital.
Well, you just said you're throwing good money after bad. So which what do you want to do?
I mean, I don't know. That's the problem of hiring Dave Gettleman.
If you want to go in a different direction, you clean house, and that starts at the top, and you keep on going until you can retool the roster.
I mean, the number of really good – I mean, this could be a separate podcast, but like the number of players taken in 2018 after Barkley who were good, obviously Sam Darnold, no, but Denzel Ward, Bradley Chubb, Quentin Nelson, Josh Allen of the Bills, Roquan Smith, Mike McGlinchey, man, Josh Rosen, man, Minka Fitzpatrick, Vita Vea, Jerome Payne, man, he's actually not been terrible, but maybe Mark Davenport, Colton Miller, Tremaine Edmonds, Derwin James, Jair Alexander, Leighton Vander Esch, Frank Ragnow. I mean, this is an insane – I mean, Lamar Jackson's down there.
Yeah.
Chubb, Darius Leonard. Cortland Sutton got an extension today. Oh, man. And you got to pay this guy a giant extension?
Billy Price, 21st Daniel Jones. Overall. Good pick. So
they should have, if they had just drafted anyone named Josh Allen, they'd be in a pretty good spot right now.
That's a whiff.
They're going to have both Josh Allens of the Bills and the Jaguars. TJ Hawkinson, Ed Oliver, Devin Bush.
Brian, what do you have them doing in your recent mock with two picks inside the top 10?
Oh, let's see, Debo. Let's see.
The mock was published today.
Came out
Monday. One saving grace is that they have the Bears pick.
So, unfortunately, quarterback goes two spots ahead of them, and they're not going to take a quarterback anyway. But I have them taking Aiden Hutchinson, who's one of my favorite players, the edge rusher out of Michigan, then Kyle Hamilton, the safety out of Notre Dame. So, again, I mean, this is sort of a situation where you have two defensive players that are awesome but aren't going to save your team because there's so many gaping holes elsewhere. And unfortunately, two offensive linemen went off the board earlier, which they would love. To take another one at six or seven would be kind of early. But, I mean, you can talk yourself into it. If you can talk yourself into taking a quarterback 10 spots too early, take an offensive lineman and maybe it works out.
No. You have two high picks. Do the opposite of what you did before. You have Daniel Jones for – this would be the case for giving Daniel Jones his fifth-year option. Is it lets you have a Daniel Jones for two more years or you try to build up some talent around him before you draft another quarterback?
All right, let's do the opposite. What are you talking about?
Is you don't go, like, draft Sam Howell at seven.
Oh, that's what I just said. You don't take a quarterback.
Yeah, okay, sorry. I was thinking the opposite of what you did with Daniel Jones.
Oh, right, yeah. And in fact, you know, to your point, you could just reach for an offensive lineman, an offensive tackle, and you could take Tyler Linderbaum, the center out of Iowa. And I say this all the time, centers haven't gone higher than 18th since 2010. And three have only gone that high. Tyler Linderbaum's a top 10 pick. So take him, let him play center, draft an offensive tackle, whether it's Kendall Green, maybe your guy, Ikem Ekwonu's there. If you get Ekwonu and Tyler Linderbaum at these spots, that's a home run. And then, boom, that's...
You got Ikem,
Andrew Thomas.
Ikem would slide in and play what, like right guard?
He can play. He can play tackle.
I don't disagree, but I'm saying you got Andrew Thomas, who's been
Andrew Thomas played right tackle at Georgia, so you can figure it out. But here's the thing: you have options as opposed to zero options.
You would have four highly drafted offensive linemen who have flashed over various points in time, and if like Icky and Linderbaum panned out, and Will Hernandez and Andrew Thomas were good, all of a sudden, then you find yourself in a position where, okay, wait, well, one, maybe Daniel Jones is much better. Two. Yeah.
The running game improves.
Two, you can go and draft a quarterback if you need to, or sign someone or trade for someone.
So there you go. Saved your season, or saved to 2020.
I can't believe you guys just rebuilt the New York Giants in 5 minutes.
I know. Dave, Wilson, Gettleman.
There you go.
Rebuilt the New York Giants. All right. Wilson, thanks for listening. Oh, sorry.
No, that's some type of breach.
Snug that medium is on you. What are you doing?
Breach been doing some.
Grow up and get a large, man. Trying to buy a baby size here. All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Let's see. We'll have a Brady Quinn football show with Ryan Wilson coming up. We will have a Thanksgiving picks preview, a full picks show, and of course, a Thanksgiving live recap show where we'll give away two Brinson Sucks hats. So make sure and show up on the holidays. See you guys later. Thanks for watching.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.